John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
It is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. Producer Dan is along for the ride as well. Oh, it's going to be a fun-filled 30 minutes or so. We cannot wait to get it going. Do you have to issue an apology to Ollie Marmol on this show as well, or just other ones?
I'll do it on this show, too. And look, I'm not apologizing for my takes on Ollie Marmol because, you know, I have seen some things that I haven't liked from Ollie Marmol. We did like kind of in a way mess up what we said yesterday. They weren't able to get the challenge. Now they could have been faster with the challenge and gotten it in, but the security guard did interfere. They were not able to get the challenge in. Chris Guccione, he's got to have a little bit more feel than that, in my opinion. But my guy Gibby reached out to me, Chris. I told you, he reached out to me and said, you got to give Ollie a chance. So that is what I'm doing. I'm team Ollie for now. Uh-huh. Until he does something that I don't like again, then I'm back off. But for now, I'm on.
So the only thing I would say that I would take back is that it did look like the security guard stumbled a little bit and he was trying to catch him. I still didn't like the whole thing. Now, the other thing is the security guard was doing his job. He was doing his job, too. So while Ollie Marmol was doing his job, and the security guard's job is to actually protect Ollie Marmol from whatever might happen, that's a security guard's job. And by the way, just because Kyle Gibson said, hey, give him a chance, it's not like Ollie Marmol's been on the job 3 weeks. He was in. They've been a shit show for 2 years. They've been okay.
You don't have to change your opinion, but when Kyle Gibson tells me something, I take it to heart. I really do. He's one of the guys that can change. He can change my feelings on somebody.
Great dude, and there's no question about that. He is one of the really good guys in baseball. But let's not act like Ollie Marmol just got here. He didn't.
I like this. The yin and yang. I'm team Ollie now, and you're still off Ollie, so look at us.
So your problem is you just get it. You people start saying shit, and all of a sudden you think you got to change your mind. Stay strong.
Oh, I'm not the commenters that were in my mentions and saying all these things. Like, no, like.
Yeah.
He's still not a people person, but like I said, it's not them that made me change my mind. It's Kyle Gibson reaching out personally and telling me I got to give him a chance. So that's
all right. All right. That part I respect. Let's get to a tip of the cap. Maybe our early season audition for Game of the Year happened out in the desert. Cubs, Diamondbacks, ton of fun. Here's how it got to extras and then how it ended.
And hangs up in right center. Ketel Marte! It's gone and we're tied! Here's the rematch. Left center, there it goes. Here comes Christian Walker, and Randall Grichuk walks off a 12-11 win at Chase Field.
23 runs, ton of extra base hits, lots of walks, lots of strikeouts, a lot of fun.
It was Tommy Henry versus Kyle Hendricks, right?
Yeah, if I can remember to the start of the game, sounds about right.
Is that the slowest matchup of starting pitchers we're going to see all year? I was wondering that. Like, I'm being serious. I'm not, like, taking anything away from these guys. But it could be. Fun game. We didn't see our guy Ian Happ hit the grand slam. Back and forth. Ketel Marte with an incredible at bat.
Yeah.
What a we've had some really good baseball games being played as of late, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah. Padres coming back with the Tatis homer. It seems like a lot of those wild endings happen on the West Coast when people are sleeping.
What's that conference? The football conference. Is it the MACtion? Oh, kind of like that.
That's where I went to school. I'm a MACtion guy.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I'm all fired up already.
I'm also a Cleveland Guardians guy, and we're almost 20 games into the season. And did you see who's got the best record in baseball? Shh. I don't like talking about it.
I know.
I didn't have a choice here today. Guardians were a winner in extra innings up in Boston. Most people did not give Cleveland much of a shot this year, particularly after Bieber went down. Do you think my guards will keep it going?
Okay, now I was one of the people that gave them a chance this year because I've just seen it. They're like kind of the Brewers to me. Like they're when their backs are against the wall, they're still going to compete. They find ways to do it. You know, they've been able to develop pitching. So I think now, I guess my question is, are you saying are they going to continue to play 700 ball and have the best record in baseball? Or are you asking, no, can they keep this level of play up to be in contention to win the AL Central? Is that the question?
Sure, you can take it wherever you want.
Okay, well, then absolutely yes. I think there's some things that are different about this Guardians team and some of the areas they're deficient in right now. Like, you know, their starters haven't been great. They've walked a lot of guys, put a lot of runners on base. But I think that's going to clear itself up. It's not who this pitching staff will be at the end of the year. So if you're going to see some positive regression there, which I believe we will, Gavin Williams coming back is going to help that as well. Like, Styx isn't going to walk a guy every single inning. It's just not going to happen that way. So that will get better. Now, the offense being right now the eighth best team OPS-wise, like, could that go down? Maybe. I could see a little bit of regression to the mean there. But they do have a new offensive approach. They talked about it in spring training, about taking a little bit more chances. Remember last year, Chris? I know you do because you're a Guardians fan. Power is just not something that they do. So I think they decided, well, let's. How do we – we can't just bring guys in and say, this is going to fix our power problem. It's we have to do something as a team to fix it, and they're taking a few more chances in the positive counts to go out and take big swings. Vogt talked about it during spring training. I think we've seen some of that early on in the year, and they still after that grind out a bat. So I think the offense can continue to score runs, and they can do it in a couple of different ways. And then the relievers have been excellent, so I think they can continue to be this team, maybe not a 700 clip, but 100% they're going to be in the race for not only a playoff spot, but for the AL Central division.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that. I love my Guardians. Man, do I love them. They're fun. They're a good, energetic team, good dudes, good, really good clubhouse from what I hear. I love what Stephen Vogt is doing. It's not easy to replace a Hall of Fame manager in Terry Francona. But one area I see differently is that this is a team that is very young. It has been the youngest team in baseball for quite some time. And they don't have a lot of established guys, right? You've got guys at the corners in Ramirez and Naylor who are. Stephen Kwan is here to stay. But other than that, there's a lot of positions that are up for grabs. Bo Naylor I would throw in there as well behind the plate. Other than that, like, they are constantly rotating. They have been in recent years. And Jimenez at second. But they've been... They didn't know who their shortstop was. They didn't know what they were doing in center field. They didn't know what right field was going to look like. They didn't know at DH. So you're talking about essentially half your everyday lineup. We don't know is the answer. And Francona would not always give guys like Brian Rocchio and Tyler Freeman and Gabriel Arias at bats when you know how hard it is to sit on the bench in the big leagues. Like, that's usually a veteran job. That is not a job for a 23-year-old. Mm-hmm. It is challenging. So you got guys who are trying to find their way. And Voter somehow has found enough at-bats for these guys to try and be productive. That's one thing I love. The thing that scares the hell out of me is that the starting pitching's not giving him any innings. It's just not. And so Tanner Bibee can't be a five-and-fly guy. That's pretty much what Logan Allen is. I'm worried, deathly worried about Tristan McKenzie in a baseball sense. I just am. He just hasn't been the same since 2 years ago. I don't know if it's because of injury. I think it is, but I don't know for sure. And that scares me. That's where the Bieber injury is going to get him, because they don't have a guy that every 5 days can relax that bullpen.
I mean, you don't think there's going to be a little bit of, you know, they're going to pitch better. They can't put that many runners on base all year long. That's my thought process on this.
I hope.
Yeah, you hope.
I hope. But I will say this. They are fun to watch. They're gritty. They just haven't stopped. Even last night, that's normally a game that they would have lost. And they didn't.
They got up. They got down. They came back. It was pretty good.
Good. Really, really good.
Hey, that guy out there, you've been watching the series. The right fielder for the Red Sox has made some incredible catches out there.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez has gotten got a couple times by that dude. Yeah, he's made some really nice
pretty plays. Impressive to watch. I'm in on the guards, dude. I didn't even know Scott Barlow was there. I'm high on him. You know, I think the pen has been great, like I said. I just think that they have always been able to figure out the starting pitching aspect. I think they will. They'll continue to do that.
All right, Jays hand the Yanks their first series loss of the season. San Diego did the same thing to Milwaukee. You know, of course, Toronto and San Diego, they're kind of cut from the same cloth of big stars, decent-sized payroll. I know that San Diego chopped theirs significantly, but still, it's fairly decent size. Which team is under more pressure to win big in 2024 between those two teams, Toronto and San Diego?
I mean, every team's under pressure to win, right, Chris? Especially, you know, when you do have stars on your team and you feel like you're in your window. The Jays, I feel like there's probably a little bit more pressure in 2024 just because that window is, you know, kind of setting to be closed. Whereas San Diego's got a lot of guys that are locked up for quite some time. You can kind of say, hey, we can have this expanded window, if you will. But in 2026, we're going to have a lot of guys departing this team and shortly thereafter as well, you know, depending on some decisions that they make with guys like Vladdy, with guys like Bo Bichette. Springer, I think, is out in 2027. The pitching staff, you know, they're not exactly the youngest pitching staff in the game, so you can look at there. I just think that because of where they're at contractually with guys and, you know, some of the age aspect of it, I think they're under more pressure than the Padres, because the Padres just have these guys in this core that they really like locked up for longer. And it seems like they're able to, I mean, Jackson Merrill coming up really helps their prospects of keeping that window open. I don't know if the Jays have that in the farm system, and we're going to have to make some decisions here shortly. So I do believe it is the Jays. The answer to this question is the Jays because of that.
Yeah. They're kind of like my little shtick. I keep picking them to either go to the World Series or win the World Series. And I have them going to the World Series and losing to the Atlanta Braves this year, because I look at their roster, I'm like, where is their weakness? Right? They've spent handsomely on their starting rotation. They have two stars in the infield, although Vlad has got to pick it up a little bit, in my opinion. They've got a highly decorated outfielder in George Springer. I mean, it's a pretty good team. It really is. Like, there's not a ton of weakness. They might be able to add something come trade deadline, but if you were to have, like, a power ranking of teams 1 through 26 on the roster, I think the Blue Jays are pretty damn high, don't you?
They're always around top 10. If you're doing that on paper preseason, they're always right around that area. Yes, Chris.
Like, what? Are they significantly worse than, I would say, a team like the Philadelphia Phillies?
I think you could say their lineup is not as long as the Phillies.
Okay.
You could say that. I like their pitching staff a lot. I mentioned the age in it, but right now these guys are still effective or can be still effective. We have a question coming up about the Phillies and their rotation, so I think we'll get there on that question. But I would put the Phillies in front of the Blue Jays.
Yeah, but I wouldn't buy a lap or something. I mean, upper echelon teams like the Dodgers and the Braves, and if you want to throw the Orioles in there, I think, you know, and probably the Yankees, like those teams are definitely ahead of them. But I wouldn't put too many more teams ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays talent-wise. I just wouldn't.
Would you rather be an Astros fan this year or a Blue Jays fan this year?
Blue Jays. I'm worried about the Astros, and not just because of a three-week start. I think that they're going to be a tough one for them.
Okay.
Now, like the Texas Rangers, I think I'd throw in there just because of what they have coming back, possibly. But other than that, and there aren't too many other teams. There just aren't. I wouldn't put any of the central teams ahead of them in either league. And I don't think I would put, you know, a Seattle or a Giants or a Padres.
I've said it before. I think Seattle is like, they're the closest comp to the Blue Jays I have right now in the big leagues.
I suppose that's possible.
Kind of like underachieving. And I wish it wasn't that way, because both these teams have the ability to be very, very fun.
Yeah, they do. They do. Hey, we love that everybody tunes in to Baseball Today, whether it's live or via podcast form or on our YouTube channel. But we want to tell you about another new podcast and video series that you're going to want to check out as well. It is The Deal. It is co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly, they speak with big-time athletes and entertainers and executives. Great episode with Derek Jeter recently, Maria Sharapova, Michael Strahan, and more. And here's The Deal with The Deal. It takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, media, and entertainment. It dives into the wins and losses and lessons learned along the way. Alex Rodriguez. I mean, he has been front and center for over 30 years, whether it was as the number one overall pick of a draft, being the guy that was the next up-and-coming star in Seattle, helping them get, you know, to the ALCS, then taking the richest contract in Texas. Things didn't work out with the team there. He gets traded to the Yankees, has to move positions, eventually wins a ring, eventually gets suspended from the sport, eventually works his way back, puts up astronomical numbers, becomes the face of kind of the broadcasting baseball world for a while. So there's ups and downs all over the place. And A-Rod, as we know, he is happy to share them. So it is coming your way from Bloomberg Podcast and Bloomberg Originals. You can listen to The Deal on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. So enjoy that. All right. Mets beat the Pirates, but it wasn't because of Pittsburgh pitcher Jared Jones. Their rookie sensation tossed five more shutout innings, one hit ball, seven Ks, no walks. 50 of his 59 pitches were strikes. Let me repeat that. He only threw 59 pitches. Manager Derek Shelton said afterward, the kid is really important to us. It was something we had going in predetermined. Is that explanation good enough for you?
I don't know, man. Clearly they have the right intentions with this kid, and everyone is searching for this recipe, you know, to make sure we're taking care of these young fireballers' arms, because what we've seen lately is the guys that are throwing hard like this are getting TJ. So I don't think anyone really has an answer. They're just trying their best to prevent a TJ with this guy, trying to get, you know, have him have the longest career possible. So, like, do I like the explanation, Chris? No, because he threw 89 pitches, then 80, and then 85. Those were all on 6 days rest. This one was his first start on 5 days rest, but 59 pitches? Like, I guess my main takeaway here is I'm happy they're trying to do something to protect the young guys. But the problem is there's just no consensus or really any structure whatsoever to how to combat arm injuries, specifically elbow injuries to these guys that throw hard. So we're really just making stuff up as we go. So, like, you know, like I said, I'm happy they're trying to do something, but does it make sense that he threw 89, 80, 85, then all of a sudden 59 because it's one less day's rest, which is a typical amount of rest this guy's probably had, you know, for a long time. So we don't know enough about these injuries, which is actually kind of crazy, because how long has the Tommy John surgery been around? You know, decades now, and we still don't know really what the root cause is. We think it's velo, but there's other contributing factors as well. Like, until we have something definitive, we're just throwing, for lack of a better term, shit on a wall. And that's kind of what this is.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's 5 days rest that he had. And then, so 4 days is the regular term. It wouldn't be six and five.
Pitching every 6 days or pitching every 5 days.
Yeah, just it's one of those little semantic things, just in case people are going to get all bugaboo on it. But yes, I understood what you were saying. But yes, so that was the first time he went on regular rest. Drives me
What's
nuts.
Regular rest?
4 days in between starts. You nailed it. It drives me nuts, because at the end of the day, and I like Shelty a lot. He is a good dude, and I think that the organization means well. But we got to stop playing scared here. We have to stop playing scared. And I think you have to go into this knowing that three-fifths of your rotation is going to blow out at some point. If you keep those guys together for 6 or 7 years, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. I mean, I have now talked with Chris Bassett, Logan Webb, Tyler Glasnow, and then today, Lucas Giolito, who just had his second major arm surgery. I'm going to talk with him, and I'm going to bring it up to him about what they just did with Jared Jones. Now, once again, he's not going to have all the answers, but the opinions are all over the place. And isn't that the biggest point here? Is that we don't have, this is it. If you follow this exact plan, it's going to work. For goodness sakes, there was also I forget if it was Verducci or somebody else who wrote the difference between a guy coming up at age 20 and a guy coming up at age 21, being a pitcher and your success rate, and this guy's going to fail and all that sort of stuff. it's enough to make your head spin and pop off. Like, we are all so confused with what's going on here. It's just like, I see a guy throwing five innings for a team that's playing great out of the gate, and he gets pulled 59 pitches. It made me want to puke.
I think that's the thing that gets me a little bit, too, is that it was a predetermined five innings, not a pitch count. Usually we're talking a predetermined pitch count. This guy's going to go 75 pitches today. But instead, it was predetermined that he was coming out no matter what after the fifth. So really, we are just guessing here. We're guessing. And this isn't a Shelton thing. You think Derek Shelton didn't say, you know what, I'm going to pull this guy after five. No, he is listening to the people above, as Laz Diaz would call them, the upper echelons.
The upper echelons.
To tell him what to do. Right. I don't get it. I mean, I don't know.
And by
Jones
the way,
spoke afterwards and said, like, you know, the way that Shelty worded it to me, it makes sense. You'd rather see me down the stretch than not see me down the stretch. This whole thing goes back to, like, we talked about Max Meyer and what they're doing with him in Miami. Like, we're all over the place.
So let me ask you this. If it was predetermined five innings and he had thrown 85 pitches after five, would have been fine with it. But he threw 59. So
that's what I'm saying.
You could have gotten another inning if the innings, not the pitches, was the predetermined mark. Then why wouldn't you have just let him get to 85 pitches? I mean, and by the way, I'm not so sure I agree with that stance anyway.
We don't know. We don't know what it is. I mean, you talk to guys, you know, back in the day, clearly weren't throwing as hard as these guys are now, but they will say without a doubt, you need to throw more.
Yeah.
And now we're just putting crazy limitations. Which one is right? I have no idea. None of them are right, apparently.
So Jones last night became the fourth player since 1893 to record at least seven strikeouts in each of his first four starts. Masahiro Tanaka, Steven Strasburg, Jose De Leon, who I'm sure you do not remember. He came up in 1983 with the Pirates. He is probably, he just passed away earlier this year, to be honest with you. He's probably best remembered for being traded for Bobby Bonilla to the White Sox for Bobby Boe.
Okay.
You don't care. Okay. Ranger Suarez tossed the major second complete game of the year. Seven-hit shutout against Colorado. Phil's catcher JT Realmuto says, if Suarez stays healthy this season, then I wouldn't label him as a number three anymore if he takes that leap. He's so good, he becomes 1A, 1B, 1C for me. Like, he's that good. If Suarez does indeed stay healthy and makes that leap, does Philly have the best 1-2-3 combo in a rotation?
Now, at first, I was like, there's no way I'm going to agree with this statement. But I started looking around the league, and I guess we're going right now, right?
Right. So Spencer Strider's out. Garrett Cole.
Spencer Strider's out. Garrett Cole is out.
Now, but Cole... I think Cole, with the caveat that he started his pitching program, Spencer Strider's not coming back this year.
I mean, look, I think that it could be a factual statement. If you go around the league, maybe you could talk about the San Francisco Giants. Jordan Hicks has been incredible. You got Logan Webb, and then you could pick one of Kyle Harrison or Blake Snell. If Blake Snell goes and is the guy that we think he can be, I think they're in the running. I think the Seattle Mariners are in the running, although they haven't started off hot. I think that they have the ability to be a top 1-2-3 if you kind of pick and choose the guys you're going with. The Dodgers right now aren't that. Yamamoto has been pretty dang good, but after that, you get Glasnow, and then who's your third? Bobby Miller's out. Clayton Kershaw was in a dugout last night. That was cool to see.
He's been there.
Yeah, I just saw it was just right up next, like right next to him.
Oh, okay. Somebody got good seats.
I got really good seats last night. So I think to answer your question, as I go up and down these rosters, I know I'm probably missing somebody else. I mean, the Blue Jays, they have not started off hot. Name-wise, you could almost throw them in the mix there. But
I've got one.
Who are you going to say? Let me look. I'm looking at all the teams right now. I mean, is it the Pirates you're going to say?
No.
Mitch Keller, Jared Jones, Paul Skeens?
Well, the problem is that one of them has not – two of them have not thrown a pitch who could be the third best guy.
Okay.
It's Arizona.
I looked at them, and yes, I should have mentioned them in my rants. They're up there.
Here's the thing about Suarez. As I did a little research last night, I read a really interesting article column in The Athletic on him. This is only the fourth or fifth game in his career that he has thrown before May 1st. Now, if you think about it, it's a little weird because there's always something going on with that.
Interesting.
Dude, right? It's interesting. Like, yeah, isn't that fascinating? And I think it happened two years ago in 2022. The most innings he's thrown in a season is 155. We talk about it.
It's pretty good nowadays.
I know. That's a weird number, though, I think. It is a weird number. Like, if you're going to be considered 1C, I need more, because that's what those top two dudes do in that rotation with Nola and Wheeler. What do? They give you innings. They give you starts and they give you innings. So if Ranger Suarez wants to be included in that, and he's the guy who hasn't gotten paid yet, he's a 28-year-old left-hander. And hell, let's remember what has happened with him the last two postseasons. Like, he sees the fifth inning, and then all of a sudden, the Phillies are like, we got to get him out of here. Like, let's go. It's time to go. They're going to pull him off the mound with a hook. Like, he's doing some sort of act on stage.
Okay, so you're going obviously Zach Gallimero-Kelly, and then you're saying Jordan Montgomery.
Or he's E-Rod.
I don't know if I'm allowing that in the equation, Chris, because they're not on the team right now.
But they're coming back. Those guys are coming back. Spencer Strider is not. We will see him next year, right? That's the difference, right? Because if not, if you want to play that game, then you might start looking at Miami's rotation.
Okay. I like it. I mean, look, there's no right answer to this question. Like, there's not a lot of teams, but a few teams that have I mean, look, I still think the Mariners have the best pitching depth in baseball. They have started off very poorly, a lot of them. A couple guys are throwing really well. I think Bryce Miller's throwing really well for them. Luis Castillo has not. Kirby has not. But I think at the end of the year, we're probably still going to look at that rotation and be like, okay, that's one of, if not the best rotations in baseball.
All right, finally, before we get out of here, better liquid story in the AL East. The O's with the return of the Homer Hydration Station, which now, if you score on the home run, not if you just hit it, but if you score, you get to use that contraption, which is kind of wild. But, yeah, it looks really weird, but there we go. Or Yusei Kikuchi, who was the winning pitcher last night against the Yankees, allowing his teammates to have a $3,000 bottle of Japanese whiskey, and he shares it with the guys after he wins a game in which he pitches.
Do they drink the whole bottle? It's a lot of cash doling out there.
Yeah, that was a Hazel May report. What's up, Hazel?
Okay. Which one do I like better is the question?
Yeah.
I think there's something about sitting in the clubhouse after you won a big league baseball game and having a toast with your boys. So I will say that, especially if you get a nice glass of whiskey. I don't drink whiskey. I'm not a whiskey guy. But if you give me, you tell me this bottle's $3,000 and you put a big ice cube in it, I'll sit there and sip it with you. There really is kind of no experience like after a game, everyone's had a good game, and you're just kind of like trying to mellow out a little bit. You've got a lot of adrenaline coursing through your veins, C-Rose. The crowd was rocking. Maybe you had a big day, so things are going right. And you just, whether it's a nice little beverage, a beer, or a $3,000 bottle of whiskey, there's something about sitting with your boys and just thinking about the game and winding down a little bit. So I'm going to go with Yusei Kikuchi, but I do want to talk about that contraption after you go.
Well, the hydration station, you know my thought on that. I'm not a germaphobe, but I want no part of that. Like, I'm sorry.
But they're not sucking it, are they? It's just squirting.
No, still, I know, but there's something about that process. Like, I want my own bottle. I want my own bottle, and that's it. Like, this is mine. I would bring this into the dugout every day, my Stanley Cup, and it would have Rose on it, and it would actually have a lock on top of it. So nobody, when I was up at bat or in the field or whatever, nobody could get a hold of this thing and use it.
Now, last year we called it a beer, like a Homer bong, and they were like, no, it's a Homer hose, bro. It's not. I'm like, no, it's a beer bong. We know what that is. This thing is also a beer bong. The tweet that I believe you sent on the email, underneath it, people are linking like the Amazon link to this thing.
Yeah.
and it's just a beer bong that they put over, and it's a hydration station. We know what you're doing, Orioles, right? You're not. Yeah. This is like a parent when a kid thinks they're getting away with something. I'm like, dude, we know what you're doing, but we're going to let you slide. This is not worth the argument, okay? We know what you guys are doing, Orioles.
Well, McCann even admitted afterward, because they were like, well, where'd you get this thing? He's like, Amazon's got a lot of cool stuff. Basically said, you know.
It's an upgrade on the Homer hose. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do like it that it's kind of a party. I just don't want any part of it. Like, I love it for the team bonding and the fact that the fans are all into it, and the dudes in the bullpen have their own thing going. Like, that part I love. Just don't ask me to partake. I'm sorry. Just, yeah.
Were you ever a beer bong guy? Have you ever done a beer bong?
I'm not a beer bong guy because I've never been able to drink carbonated beverages smoothly. Ever. I've never been a soda guy at all. Ever, at all. What?
That may be one of the softest things I've ever heard anybody say. I can't handle carbonated beverages.
I've got all sorts of soft stuff. I also cannot swallow pills.
That's a common one.
No, it's not. And I blame my parents. I love them dearly. I miss them every day. Mom's been gone 17 years. Dad's been gone 12 years. Neither of them taught me how to swallow pills. That's a tough one.
Is that a parent's job?
Yes.
Put it in your mouth and take a swig of water? I don't know. That's pretty.
Teach them how to do it. Because now I don't know how to teach our kids.
I'm trying to think if I've taught my kids how to swallow pills.
Well, put it on the bucket list. Let's go. Okay. Teddy and Isla, let's go. Clean it up. All right. This was a fun one. As always, still can't believe Jerry Jones got taken out after 59 pitches.
Did you say that the Diamondbacks were a better 1-2-3 than the Phillies?
When one of those guys gets back, I'm going to take him.
Okay.
I'm going to take him. I think I'm nuts, but
we need to respect Zach Gallen more as a company, I think. So I'm glad you're taking
him. I think we do. I think we totally. And I loved interviewing Merrill Kelly this spring. He was awesome. I like that dude.
Well, Colton Cowser took the nickname the Milkman, but that's Zach Gallen's nickname. We put out a shirt that was the Milkman shirt for the Orioles, and Zach Gallen was like, gave one of those emojis on our Instagram page.
Not so nice.
I'm team Zach. All the people that are downtrodden, I'm your guy.
You are team everybody. That's all I could say.
I am team everybody. I don't like to make anybody mad.
No, you don't. Except me.
Make you mad. Who else do I not like?
All right. Quick reminder, if you want more on the arm stuff, go listen to Tyler Glass now. He was great. For 15 minutes, we went back and forth on it. He was so good. And check out the end of the episode where he talks about high school graduations.
Love it. I did not see him last night. Saw everybody else in the dugout. I don't know what he was doing. I talked to Mickey Rowe. I talked to Max Muncy. Yeah.
You did?
Everybody was saying hi to me, but I didn't see Glass now.
Oh, okay. All right, we're back at it again on Thursday. We're going to go a little bit earlier, part of the live show, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Thursday here on Baseball Today.